Henley Recruitment, Lydia speaking.
Hi, it's Nathan Donald from Fulbright Research.
Oh, hi, Nathan. How can I help?
It's about the vacancies for market researchers. Have you found anyone yet? I wasn't sure because I haven't heard from you.
Ah, yes. The vacancy was for 4 market research assistants, wasn't it?
Actually, it was 4, but we have another 2 staff leaving this week, so I need 6 now.
OK, I'll note that down. We didn't have any applications for this. This means that there might be some errors in the original information. In order to check this, do you mind if I go over some of the job details?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
OK. So, were the positions temporary or permanent?
They are all temporary, but we may be recruiting full-time staff after the project ends.
And how long are the contracts?
3 months each.
How many hours is that a week?
The basic is 37 hours, but there will also be about 5 hours overtime available every week because we're very busy at the moment.
When I spoke to your assistant, she said that the salary you're offering is €500 a month. It's probably because of the low salary that there hasn't been any interest.
No, that's not right. The salary is €1,500 a month plus bonus.
Oh, that should make a difference. I've just got a few more questions so that we can be sure that all the information is correct. What's the start date for the project?
The 26th of August.
Do you have a contact name and number for applications?
Yes. Ask candidates to call Ellie Duffy on...
Sorry, Nathan. Can I just check? Is that Ellie spelt E-L-L-I-E?
No, sorry. It's E-L-L-Y. And her surname is Duffy. That's D-U-F-F-Y.
Great. And her extension number?
It's 2449.
Great. I think we'll have a lot more interest in the positions now.
Thanks for your help, Lydia.
No problem, Nathan. I'll call you as soon as I have any candidates.
Thanks. Bye.
Goodbye. Henley Recruitment, Lydia speaking.
Hi, it's Nathan Donald from Fulbright Research.
Oh, hi, Nathan. How can I help?
It's about the vacancies for market researchers. Have you found anyone yet? I wasn't sure because I haven't heard from you.
Ah, yes. The vacancy was for 4 market research assistants, wasn't it?
Actually, it was 4, but we have another 2 staff leaving this week, so I need 6 now.
OK, I'll note that down. We didn't have any applications for this. This means that there might be some errors in the original information. In order to check this, do you mind if I go over some of the job details?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
OK. So, were the positions temporary or permanent?
They are all temporary, but we may be recruiting full-time staff after the project ends.
And how long are the contracts?
3 months each.
How many hours is that a week?
The basic is 37 hours, but there will also be about 5 hours overtime available every week because we're very busy at the moment.
When I spoke to your assistant, she said that the salary you're offering is €500 a month. It's probably because of the low salary that there hasn't been any interest.
No, that's not right. The salary is €1,500 a month plus bonus.
Oh, that should make a difference. I've just got a few more questions so that we can be sure that all the information is correct. What's the start date for the project?
The 26th of August.
Do you have a contact name and number for applications?
Yes. Ask candidates to call Ellie Duffy on...
Sorry, Nathan. Can I just check? Is that Ellie spelt E-L-L-I-E?
No, sorry. It's E-L-L-Y. And her surname is Duffy. That's D-U-F-F-Y.
Great. And her extension number?
It's 2449.
Great. I think we'll have a lot more interest in the positions now.
Thanks for your help, Lydia.
No problem, Nathan. I'll call you as soon as I have any candidates.
Thanks. Bye.
Goodbye.
In this evening's programme, we're talking to Matteo Rossini, an expert on the Italian clothing industry. Good evening, Matteo.
Good evening.
There's been quite a revolution in this industry in Italy in the last decade or so. Things were quite different before that, I understand.
That's right. Between the 1960s and 1990s, Italy was a dominant force in this industry. Its success was based on a vast network of family-owned, small and medium-sized firms, often located in regional groups, and which focused on traditional areas such as textiles, clothing and footwear.
And today, what's different?
Well, firstly, Italy's industrial production has fallen in each of the past 4 years, and we're now trying to buy what we used to sell. We can't compete any longer against companies from other countries, such as China. As a result, manufacturing, especially in our export sectors, has dropped significantly.
So what has this meant for Italian clothing companies?
It's been very difficult for them, and there have been many failures.
Mm.
However, there have been some success stories, such as BasicNet, a casual clothing company owned by Marco Boglioni. He managed to face these competitive challenges by using Chinese manufacturing and reducing production in Italy. Although this is good news from one point of view, it's rather worrying for the country's economy to see the way things are going.
What did Mr. Boglione do before establishing BasicNet?
The company he bought to start BasicNet was called MCT, and it had just gone bankrupt due, in no small part, to the high cost of manufacturing in Italy. Actually, Boglione was employed by MCT between 1976 and 1985, but he left to set up a successful mail-order business selling shirts of leading soccer clubs to fans who were willing to pay a high price to wear their team's colours.
So what happened when he bought MCT in 1994?
To tell the truth, he was very shocked by the poor conditions he found.
In this evening's programme, we're talking to Matteo Rossini, an expert on the Italian clothing industry. Good evening, Matteo.
Good evening.
There's been quite a revolution in this industry in Italy in the last decade or so. Things were quite different before that, I understand.
That's right. Between the 1960s and 1990s, Italy was a dominant force in this industry. Its success was based on a vast network of family-owned, small and medium-sized firms, often located in regional groups, and which focused on traditional areas such as textiles, clothing and footwear.
And today, what's different?
Well, firstly, Italy's industrial production has fallen in each of the past 4 years, and we're now trying to buy what we used to sell. We can't compete any longer against companies from other countries, such as China. As a result, manufacturing, especially in our export sectors, has dropped significantly.
So what has this meant for Italian clothing companies?
It's been very difficult for them, and there have been many failures.
Mm.
However, there have been some success stories, such as BasicNet, a casual clothing company owned by Marco Boglioni. He managed to face these competitive challenges by using Chinese manufacturing and reducing production in Italy. Although this is good news from one point of view, it's rather worrying for the country's economy to see the way things are going.
What did Mr. Boglione do before establishing BasicNet?
The company he bought to start BasicNet was called MCT, and it had just gone bankrupt due, in no small part, to the high cost of manufacturing in Italy. Actually, Boglione was employed by MCT between 1976 and 1985, but he left to set up a successful mail-order business selling shirts of leading soccer clubs to fans who were willing to pay a high price to wear their team's colours.
So what happened when he bought MCT in 1994?
To tell the truth, he was very shocked by the poor conditions he found.
Hi, Vision Tech.
Hello. Can I speak to Al Bennett, please?
Speaking.
Oh, hi. I wonder if you can help me. I'm Paul Spears, training manager with Wingnet Electronics. I'd like some information about your creativity courses for business people.
Sure. What would you like to know?
Well, in the past, we've run more traditional training courses, such as time management, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. I see.
But I'd like to add some more adventurous seminars to this year's programme. To begin with, could you give me some idea how creativity courses could help my company?
Well, at Vision Tech, we believe that all types of business can benefit from encouraging staff to think of creative solutions to practical problems.
But is it possible to learn creativity?
Well, we can all certainly learn to be more creative and approach problems from new angles.
Could you talk me through a typical course?
Certainly. Well, we try to mix different departments together during the course, so we begin by giving attendees a badge and asking them to write their name on it.
Okay.
Then we start with a series of exercises where people are encouraged to do things in the opposite way from how they would normally approach them. For example, a group is given a problem, and instead of trying to agree on a solution, they're encouraged to argue loudly when they disagree.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, it relaxes participants by making them realize that they don't always have to agree or fit in with what other people think. But more importantly, by doing the opposite to what we normally do, we're warming up the creative side of our imagination and freeing ourselves to look at things in another way.
I see. What other exercises do you have?
The morning session usually ends with small groups being given an object, for example, a paperclip, which they have to think of a new use for. Then they present their idea to other groups.
It certainly sounds interesting. How long do your courses run for?
The Introduction to Creative Thinking is a one-day course, and Advanced Creative Thinking is a two-day course.
Where do you run them?
Well, we prefer clients to come to our premises. They're set in beautiful countryside, and we find the participants get more out of the course if they are outside their traditional work environment.
That might be a problem for some of our staff who would need to be on call in case of emergencies.
That's okay. We can work around that. If you have a conference facility or other suitable size room, then we could run it on site. But I would recommend that your staff are told that they can only be interrupted in the case of genuine emergencies. Otherwise, they won't get the most out of the course.
Oh, yes. I can understand that.
At Vision Tech, we are committed to giving the best courses possible. We run a maximum of 15 courses each month, so we do recommend that you book early.
Oh, thanks for telling me that. It's been very helpful talking to you. Do you think you could send me a brochure and a booking form?
Certainly, and if you have any further questions, just give me a call. Now, if I can take your company details.
Yes, as I mentioned, the company is Wingnet Electronics.
Hi, Vision Tech.
Hello. Can I speak to Al Bennett, please?
Speaking.
Oh, hi. I wonder if you can help me. I'm Paul Spears, training manager with Wingnet Electronics. I'd like some information about your creativity courses for business people.
Sure. What would you like to know?
Well, in the past, we've run more traditional training courses, such as time management, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. I see.
But I'd like to add some more adventurous seminars to this year's programme. To begin with, could you give me some idea how creativity courses could help my company?
Well, at Vision Tech, we believe that all types of business can benefit from encouraging staff to think of creative solutions to practical problems.
But is it possible to learn creativity?
Well, we can all certainly learn to be more creative and approach problems from new angles.
Could you talk me through a typical course?
Certainly. Well, we try to mix different departments together during the course, so we begin by giving attendees a badge and asking them to write their name on it.
Okay.
Then we start with a series of exercises where people are encouraged to do things in the opposite way from how they would normally approach them. For example, a group is given a problem, and instead of trying to agree on a solution, they're encouraged to argue loudly when they disagree.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, it relaxes participants by making them realize that they don't always have to agree or fit in with what other people think. But more importantly, by doing the opposite to what we normally do, we're warming up the creative side of our imagination and freeing ourselves to look at things in another way.
I see. What other exercises do you have?
The morning session usually ends with small groups being given an object, for example, a paperclip, which they have to think of a new use for. Then they present their idea to other groups.
It certainly sounds interesting. How long do your courses run for?
The Introduction to Creative Thinking is a one-day course, and Advanced Creative Thinking is a two-day course.
Where do you run them?
Well, we prefer clients to come to our premises. They're set in beautiful countryside, and we find the participants get more out of the course if they are outside their traditional work environment.
That might be a problem for some of our staff who would need to be on call in case of emergencies.
That's okay. We can work around that. If you have a conference facility or other suitable size room, then we could run it on site. But I would recommend that your staff are told that they can only be interrupted in the case of genuine emergencies. Otherwise, they won't get the most out of the course.
Oh, yes, I can understand that.
At Vision Tech, we are committed to giving the best courses possible. We run a maximum of 15 courses each month, so we do recommend that you book early.
Oh, thanks for telling me that. It's been very helpful talking to you. Do you think you could send me a brochure and a booking form?
Certainly, and if you have any further questions, just give me a call. Now, if I can take your company details.
Yes, as I mentioned, the company is Wingnet Electronics.
You will hear a radio announcement about a new magazine. For each question, fill in the missing information in the numbered space. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear the recording twice.
Today we begin the programme with some information about an exciting magazine that will be on sale in the shops next week. It's called Good Living, and the aim of the magazine is to show you how to eat well and in a healthy way. So every month there will be information about which fruit and vegetables are in season, as well as lots of recipes by top chefs for you to make. In the first issue of the magazine, there will be recipes for fish, which is a good choice if you want to eat healthily. In addition, you'll also find a special free gift. This is a DVD showing how to prepare summer salads using a wide variety of different ingredients, some of them quite unusual. The second issue will have an interesting article about the history of tea and the many kinds you can buy in different countries. It also has a special collection of recipes for children, which will show them some interesting things to make with rice. Of course, there'll be some good things for adults in this second magazine too. There are some wonderful recipes designed especially for parties. The recipes are quick to prepare and very colourful, and some can also be made ahead of time and frozen, which is always useful. Now, the price of the magazine will normally be £3.99, but the first issue will be on sale at £2.49, so that's a good offer, a reduction of £1.50. It will be on sale in supermarkets and newsagents on Monday, so make sure you buy it. The ideas and photos in it are great. Moving on. Next on the programme...
Now listen again.
Today we begin the programme with some information about an exciting magazine that will be on sale in the shops next week. It's called Good Living, and the aim of the magazine is to show you how to eat well and in a healthy way. So every month there will be information about which fruit and vegetables are in season, as well as lots of recipes by top chefs for you to make. In the first issue of the magazine, there will be recipes for fish, which is a good choice if you want to eat healthily. In addition, you'll also find a special free gift. This is a DVD showing how to prepare summer salads using a wide variety of different ingredients, some of them quite unusual. The second issue will have an interesting article about the history of tea and the many kinds you can buy in different countries. It also has a special collection of recipes for children, which will show them some interesting things to make with rice. Of course, there'll be some good things for adults in this second magazine too. There are some wonderful recipes designed especially for parties. The recipes are quick to prepare and very colourful, and some can also be made ahead of time and frozen, which is always useful. Now, the price of the magazine will normally be £3.99, but the first issue will be on sale at £2.49, so that's a good offer, a reduction of £1.50. It will be on sale in supermarkets and newsagents on Monday, so make sure you buy it. The ideas and photos in it are great. Moving on. Next on the programme...